The scripture reading this evening will be from the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Good to be here tonight. We have another good-looking crowd. I appreciate Uncle Mark reading that scripture, Uncle Seth reading the song, or leading us in the singing. We appreciate God blessing that good family. All right, James chapter 1, turn your Bibles there. You know that we're looking at passages that I appreciate for various reasons. And James, I appreciate really the entire book of James because it is known to be a very practical book. In fact, just like the book of Romans is known to be one of the most profound writings, even by those who are historians outside of biblical writings, they believe and they often say the book of Romans is one of the most profound pieces of literature that has ever been written. Well, at the same time as that, we understand that James has a reputation too. And his reputation is of being a very practical writer. And so in the book of James, we have some of the most practical teaching that we receive in the Bible. And James chapter 1, and particularly the verses that were just read for us, are some of the most practical teachings in the book of James itself. And so we'll spend our time looking at James chapter 1, and again beginning at verse 19. And what the subject matter is in these particular verses, it has to do with our reception of the Word of God. And so right away, you know it's going to be something that is important, something that is useful for us in our daily living. And so we want to look very quickly at five things that we can take from these verses that we just heard read. How should we receive the Word of God? And the first way that we ought to receive the Word is with great speed. Or as the different translations say, swiftly. Notice at verse 19 it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. Or again, swift to hear. And I like the way it begins with, at the very beginning of verse 19, the ESV simply says, know this, my beloved brethren. But the King James says, wherefore? And as we've just heard, the New King James says, so then. And really, the verb there is a present tense, and so it could rightly be simply translated, knowing this. And so it points back to what was just said. It points back to verse 18. And what we find in verse 18, James says, of his own will he brought us or begat us by the word of truth. And so we all, I think, appreciate and recognize what a privilege it is to be a child of God. And how is it that we became children of God? Peter said that we were born again of incorruptible seed. And that's what James is referring to at verse 18. And so he says, now, knowing this, knowing that the Word of God was the means by which we became children of God, we ought to appreciate the Word of God so that we should be swift to hear the word of God. We should hear it with speed. There should be no procrastination when it comes to the word of God. The word of God is so significant. It is so important. We should hear it quickly. We should hear it often. We should not procrastinate or hesitate in any way when it comes down to the reception of the word of God. Let's listen to it with speed. Well, that leads to the next point. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. And then he says, slow to speak and slow to anger. We might say that we should receive the word of God with serenity. That is, with a calm spirit, with a peaceful mind, without having an argumentative kind of spirit. When it comes down to the word of God, whenever you go to it to read it and to study it, don't do so with a mindset that says, well, I got to find some way to get around it. Don't argue with God. Don't come to the conclusion that somehow, some way, you're going to, if you don't like the passage, if it angers you in some way, that you're just going to try to get around it. That shouldn't be your mentality. It's the word of God. It's the incorruptible seed. And so every time we open it up and study it, whether we're just reading it from a casual standpoint or if we're really getting down to business and searching the scripture and meditating upon the word of God, we should do so with a calm and peaceful mind that says, I'm going to accept whatever it is, whether I like it or not, whether it means I have to do some changing in my life. I'm not going to be argumentative. I'm not going to try to get around it. I'm just going to receive it. That's the only way we can successfully study and receive the word of God. And so we ought to receive it with some serenity. And then number three, we should receive the word of God with sanctification. Notice the wording at verse 21. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Now, I think most of us realize there's two ways that we can look at this. First of all, when we think about sanctification in the word, we understand that it is the word itself that sanctifies us. It was Jesus who prayed, of course, to the Father in John 17 at verse 17 when he said about his disciples, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so it is the word of God. Again, we said just a moment ago that we were begotten by the word of God. And certainly we understand that when we accepted the gospel of Christ that we were set apart. We were made holy. We were sanctified. And so the word does that itself. But there's another way to look at this as well. Every time we study the word of God, when we get down again to business and we're going to really study a portion of God's word, we need to make sure that we are continuing to be sanctified, that we are continuing to be pure, that there's no unrepented sin in our life. And that's really what James is getting to in this particular text. You notice by the wording of it again, therefore put all filthiness and rampant wickedness, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And then he says, and receive with meekness. So he's saying, you make sure you put away those things first. And then you receive with meekness this implanted or engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. There are some things that just don't mix. And the word of God and the really meditating and studying of the word of God with unrepented sin, those are two things that just don't go together. You want to get down to business searching the word of God, get the sin out of your life if there is any unrepented sin. That's the first business to take care of. Then you can sit down with a calm and peaceful mind, knowing that you're right with God, and drink from the fountain of God's word. Make sure you don't do that hypocritically with sin in your life. And so we need to receive the word of God with sanctification. And then we need, number four, to receive the word of God sincerely. And now we're really at what is the heart of this passage. And the most practical part of it. At verse 22, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Well, again, that's that. When you think of James chapter 1, that's the thing that jumps out at you. How do you receive the word of God sincerely? You do it by being a doer of the word. Anyone who hears the word of God and then refuses to make application really isn't sincere in his or her Bible study in the first place. We need to receive the word sincerely. And what a great illustration that James gives. Many sermons have been preached on God's mirror. And those are good sermons because I don't know of a more practical comparison and illustration of the word of God than to compare it to a mirror. You've heard me say many times the comparison between the word of God and a mirror is that they both kind of do the same thing. In fact, they do exactly the same thing. They reveal something. They give a revelation. And in fact, that's all that they can do. You think about the mirror. The mirror is powerful and useful, and we all have them in our homes, don't we? In our generation, we wonder how in the world would we get along without having a mirror or two in our house. But the mirror, as powerful as it is, it really only does one thing. It reveals what's before it. But one of the things we know in what is the practical teaching of James here is that, again, that's the extent of the mirror's power. The mirror can't change you. And we all know that. You go before a mirror and your tie is crooked. The mirror is not going to reach out and straighten your tie. When you see your tie is crooked, all right, the mirror has done its part. Now if you want something to change, you're going to have to straighten out your tie. If you look in the mirror and your hair doesn't look right, well, the mirror has done its job. Now, if you want something to change, you better pick up a comb and do something about it. You have to do, and that's the point of it. You have to make application of what you see. And James is saying, what if you look into the mirror and you walk away and you forget what you saw in the mirror? Well, you're in the same situation that you were in before you ever looked into the mirror. It doesn't do you any good. And the word of God is just like that. It is powerful. In fact, the Hebrew writer tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But the fact of the matter is, it's limited in what it can do. You remember James said that the word is able to save your soul. It's not going to save your soul automatically. It has the potential to do so. It has the ability to change your life around. But the fact of the matter is, you have to be the one who actually does the changing. It just tells you that you need to change. It tells you that you have to straighten something up, that you have to move something around. It tells you that you have to be a doer. What happens if all you do is hear the word of God over and over again, but you don't do anything? Well, you're not any better off than if you had never looked into the mirror in the first place. How many people over the years hear the word of God? We have folks here at Brown Street who hear the word of God over and over and over. Week after week, month after month, even year after year, they hear sermons on this and that, all kinds of sermons, and they hear it and they hear it and they hear it, but they never get around to doing. What does that do for them? Well, if they die in that state, if you are here tonight and that describes you, if you die in that condition, it will be as if you had never heard the word of God. You have to be a doer. And that's the practical teaching of this context, the primary teaching of it. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. And it's not just a message for those who have never obeyed the gospel. Our lives are constantly in need of maintenance. As Christians, we have to continue to grow. There's always areas where we can improve.
And sometimes we'll hear a sermon or be in a Bible class and we'll hear from the Word of God and realize, oh, I need to fix this or I need to do better in this area. But then we leave where the mirror is. We leave the building and we forget what the mirror revealed to us. Forgetful hearer. That just won't get the job done. The primary reason that we received the Word of God in the first place was to allow it to change our lives. And so we can go to passage after passage after passage that tells us to be doers of the Word. In Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21, who is it that's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus himself is not the one who just says, Lord, Lord. It's the one who is a doer of God's will. We think about the time when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He gave them a magnificent lesson on how to be humble and the importance of serving other people. But at the end, he said, happy are ye if you do this. They had to make application. They had to follow the example that he gave. I can give you passage after passage that talks about that. I remember Paul talking to the Corinthians, and you remember when Paul was trying to get the Gentile churches to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And the Corinthians said, oh, we'll participate in that. The churches of Macedonia, they gave of themselves. They gave out of their poverty, and Paul told the Corinthians about that. And the Corinthians said, well, yeah, we want to participate in that. And Paul finally got around to telling them, well, you know, a year ago you said you're going to do it. Now you got to get down to the doing of it. Like, what good was it for the Corinthians just to say they were going to do something and never get around to doing? The fact of the matter is, the Bible is useful to us. Powerful as it is only useful to us when we get down to being doers. And you notice that James says here, now, don't deceive yourself. Because it's easy to think, well, you know, I heard a lesson and I hear lessons all the time and I study even once in a while. But if you're not making application, you're like the fella looking in the mirror and not making any changes. And so if you want to be successful in your reception of the Word of God, then you have to be sincere. You go into every Bible study. Whether it's collective, whether you're studying at your kitchen table at home, wherever you are, you go into every Bible study with the mindset, if I have to make a change in my life, I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply what it is that I read, what I learn from the Word of God. I'm going to be a doer and not a hearer only. Now, when you do those things, when you receive the Word of God with speed, when you receive it with serenity and with sanctification, and you do so sincerely, the end result of that will be success. And that's what James describes in verse 25. He says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, two things very quickly that we find in that verse, and then we'll close. First of all, if you're going to be successful, there has to be contemplation in your Bible study. You notice the words there. He says, the one who looks into. That word look there is an interesting word. The Greek word means to lean over or to stoop down and to peer inside. And the word peer, of course, means to look into something with a searchful kind of a mindset. You're trying to discover something. It's not a casual looking. It is an earnest kind of search. And that's how we should study the Word of God. And I'm not saying every time we open up the Bible, we have to do that. There's a time when you just read. Like, some people are on a plan. You read through the Bible in a year. And that's a wonderful, wonderful plan. I appreciate that. And brethren do that all the time. And you read. And sometimes you get to the point. You've read through the Bible, you know, just many, many, many times. And you learn the Word of God like that. That's good. But there also comes a time when you open up the Bible, when you need to search, you need to look into it diligently, earnestly, intensely. You understand the Bible is full of wonderful application. It's full of the mind of God. And so it's not just a casual thing. You find a place where you can be alone with the Word of God, and you dig deep into God's Word. And when you do that, you're going to have some success in growing in your knowledge. And don't ever forget, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when you search the Word of God like that, when there's real contemplation in it, you will grow spiritually. There's no doubt about that. But then there's a second thing that he mentions here that's important, and that is that you have to study the Word of God on a continual basis. Continually. That's true not only with the study itself, but back to the application of it. You notice what he says one more time in verse 25. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. And then he says, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. The one who continues in the Word of God. It's not good enough when you study the Word of God and you discover something that you need to do. And so you do it one time and that's just it. No, you make it. You again go to the Word of God, not only with the mindset of application, but with the mindset of a continual application. You're studying the Word of God, trying to develop habits for living, a way of life. And when you go into the Bible like that, and again, you make application of that. You let the Bible change you, or you change yourself, but the Bible reveals it. But you do that, but you do it consistently, and you do it on an ongoing basis. So you have a new way of living. You are truly a new creature in Christ. And the Word of God will be successful. What does he say will happen to those who study and search and receive the Word of God like that? The one who is not just a hearer, but a doer. He says he will be blessed in his doing. And that's what we're after, isn't it? We might say that's the compensation in the studying. When we study it with contemplation and we continue it, the compensation for all of that is blessedness from God. It's useful. It's practical. And we can grow in Christ when we listen to these words given to us by James. I hope that we'll take advantage of what he teaches. Again, the Word of God, the implanted Word, the engrafted Word, can save our souls. But we have to do our part, or else we won't grow at all and improve at all. I hope that we will. Are you subject to the invitation? The part of God's Word that you need to obey first is the gospel of Christ. The instructions that tell you how you become a child of God in the first place. Acts 2 at verse 38 is very simple. Peter told the people, they asked what they had to do, and he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Won't you do that tonight? If you're not a child of God, you're outside of the ark of safety. Don't ever forget, one of these days, Jesus is coming back. He's the Savior of the body. That's the church. If you're not in the body, you're not going to be saved. But you can change that this very night. You can obey the gospel and you can become a member of the body of Christ. And when Jesus comes back, he'll be coming back for you. I hope that you'll do that if you're not a child of God. If you are a child of God and you haven't really been doing what James says to do, if you haven't been making consistent application, if you haven't been living by the Word of God, if you haven't been living a sanctified life, you need to do something about that. You need to straighten that out. Again, repentance is in order, but this time you don't have to be baptized. You simply need to pray God and ask him for forgiveness. And John said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Won't you do that tonight? Won't you apply the Word of God where it needs to be applied? I hope you will. If you have to apply it, come forward right now as we together stand and sing.